Three extremely dark and lonely days. Days where they weren't sure exactly what was going on. They had so many hopes and they had so many certainties from Jesus' promises, and yet he lay lifeless in a grave. Those 3 days were followed by 40 amazing days. We don't know just how often Jesus did appear, but we get the impression it was more often than we know about from the scriptures themselves. We can count them in the scriptures, the number of times we're told Jesus appeared, but the way that it's told to us in Acts and in Luke, we come to that realization that they just didn't know for sure when Jesus would appear. Even in locked rooms, he could just appear out of nowhere to be with them, to eat with them, to teach them. And they got so used to that. I can only imagine how used to it we would get. How we would just wonder when he would appear again and long for that moment and wish when the moment began that it would never end. And so the disciples of all people had the biggest challenge in front of them as they faced a moment similar to the moments we face all too often. When the person who's been the planner, the worker bee, the key cog in the machine is no longer present. They're no longer there because they've moved along. They're no longer there because they've passed away. And everyone who has enjoyed that activity, who wishes it would go on forever, wonders, now what? How do we do this? How do we pick up the pieces? Who is going to be in charge? And are we going to do everything that we always did, or are we going to do new things? Who's going to make these decisions? How exactly will it go from here? Well, you know Jesus. He was always going to be instructive and directive and leave no stone unturned. And so even here, in these verses from Luke in the Gospel, we have a pattern established that the disciples would have felt very familiar with. And so they followed exactly what they understood Jesus wanted them to be and to do. And you and I, as we look at these verses that are often overlooked, we find the pattern of the New Testament Christian church. We find the pattern of the history of our own congregation. We find the pattern of Christian daily life. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Did something stand out to you in those verses? I hope that it did. What's the most prominent element of life for the disciples with Jesus and after Jesus? The Word. The Word spoken, the Word studied, the Word surrounding them, the Word meditated on, the Word applied, the Word as directive as to how to live. It set the tone. The Word surrounded them, the Word bathed them, the Word forgave them, the Word inspired them. We will be criticized by many in the world, even fellow Christians, for our attitude toward the Word, our love for the Word, our respect for the Word. But those who criticize seem to fail to remember how Jesus is presented in the Word as the Word made flesh. He is the fabric of our lives and our fellowship, our faith and our hope in God, because it all revolves around the Word that He spoke and the Word that He was and the Word that He still is. And as you read these verses and you see Jesus knitting together for them these simple truths that are so foundational to our understanding of what this is all about, what it means to be a Christian, not just what you believe, but how you live. It's all about Jesus being the fulfillment of everything God had ever been saying to any human being from the very first conversation with Adam and Eve after their sin to the moment that He now is ascending to heaven to take full glory and exaltation back after His humiliating reality of cross and grave. He is everything we would need Him to be, everything we could possibly hope He could be. He's accomplished it all, and all authority in heaven and on earth is now given to Him, not just as the God who placed everything that we see in our existence for us to be blessed, but the God who became one of us, Creator becoming creature for the purpose of saving us all. He still wears His human flesh, His human nature on heaven's throne, ruling over all things. And when the Word proclaims that to us, what else can we do but worship? Do you see that here? How beautiful it all fits together, how clear and simple and structured it is. If you believe in Jesus and if you listen to His Word and His Word moves you to understand and believe, to trust and to desire to glorify God, worship is what comes next. If the Word is playing the role that it intends in your life, you will worship. And you will worship by yourself. You will worship on a daily basis. You will worship with your life, with your offerings, with your abilities and your time. But you will also worship together with your fellow believers. It's what Christians do. It's what they did in the immediate aftermath of Jesus leaving them. They worshiped together in that moment on that mountain. They worshiped together as they traveled back to Jerusalem. They worshiped together in the temple because Jesus had told them to wait and they were willing to do exactly what Jesus told them to do. They worshiped while they waited. Worship was foundational. Worship was what wove them together in so many different ways. And worship was not just an expression of the Word, it was a proclaiming of the Word to each other. And the weight is also so obvious, isn't it? You and I, we struggle on a daily basis with this waiting business. We especially struggle when we believe we've got an understanding of what we need to be doing for the Lord. And we want to get to it, and we want to get it done, and we want to do big things. And yet so often, we lack the resources or the understanding of how or when exactly to do it. The disciples knew the promises of God, similar to those that Paul makes to us in his writings about how every good thing will abound for us whenever we're doing what God has intended for us to do. We will have everything we need in every way to accomplish all that He has placed before us if we but wait on Him to be the director, to be the inspiration, and to be the designer of all that we do. Which takes us back to the relationship with the Word and the foundational reality of worship. Isn't it interesting how often we're challenged to see worship as a priority when we want to do things for God and for God's world? And yet, that's exactly what He tells them to do, to
worship while they wait. Wait for direction from the Word itself. But even better, wait for the Holy Spirit himself to be the one that informs them and shapes them and motivates them and moves them, not just into the activity, but throughout the activity in all the ways he sees best for them to accomplish what God intends. Waiting for God is so hard. But that's exactly what we're doing right now, whether we realize it on a daily basis. We're filling our time while we wait for Jesus to return on the clouds of heaven, just as we saw him go into heaven. And so as the disciples did, so do we. We hear and read the word. We worship together. We wait for the Lord. And we do the work. And the work is so clearly laid out here. It's the sharing of the word. It is the witnessing in every way we can to anyone we can. If we're going to follow the pattern of Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth, we would be saying community, region, country, world. And you and I, we have resources and opportunities beyond the imagining of any generation that came before us. At any given moment, you can call anyone anywhere else in the world. You can use platforms that people from all over the world are looking at. You can choose the work for yourself. But the most important work is the simple work, as it's defined in these verses. The simple living of our faith and sharing of our faith. It echoes the lesson from this last Sunday about being prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have, doing that with gentleness and respect. Those 3 days were awful. They were 3 days so dark and so challenging like none we have truly ever known. We can't even imagine what it must have been like to be them. But it was followed by 40 days that we also cannot begin to imagine. To be with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, glorified Jesus before his ascension into heaven. No longer wondering who he is and what he'll do next, but knowing without even a hint of a doubt that he is risen from death, Messiah, God, in person, brother, yet Lord, waiting and wondering where he will appear and what he'll have to say next. But all of it perfectly calibrated and always building on everything that he had said before. It wasn't new. It was timeless. It was ancient and yet relevant to the very moment in which they lived and struggled, so that they had absolute certainty that whenever Jesus would finally choose to move on, to leave them, he would fulfill the promise of sending his Spirit, his Counselor, to them, so they would remember everything that he said, and they would proclaim it to the world. And so during those 40 days, they just drank in and relished every moment they had to spend with Jesus. And then he floated off to heaven, and they waited for the Spirit. And in a week, really 10 days, we'll have those readings and that celebration acknowledging what the wait resulted in. But we also know the power of that wait and the reality of the outcome of that wait. Because every single day, you and I have the ability as followers of Jesus to follow the pattern he established during his time with the disciples over those 3 years, during those 40 days between resurrection and ascension, and in the decades and centuries after, as the word spread through the world. We know it. It is so familiar. It is so simple. It's like the drumbeat that we march to as the people of God. The word, the worship, the wait, and the work. Whenever you're needing direction, whenever you're uncertain of what's in front of you to do for your Lord, turn back to these verses and let them remind you of just how simple and straightforward and yet powerful and eternal the reality is. Our ascended Lord desires these things from us. And he knows that when they are our reality, his work will be done through us. And his name will be glorified. And souls will be saved. For an eternity with a God who will always give us purpose, who will always give us direction, who will always give us the fulfillment that our hearts are seeking in ways that we could never dream. Amen.